Gracias, presidente.
Thank you very much, Chair. Well, my first words are words of thanks for you for having convened such eminent speakers for our panel. There are two preliminary comments that I'd like to make before asking a specific question to the panelists. So first of all, I understand that this is an informal session and you chose the topic with your best possible judgment, but I have to say that we are sorry that this has been limited to the conduct of states under issue one, whereas in fact the conduct or behavior really affects the conduct of states much more broadly. We also regret that for financial and bureaucratic reasons that we're all entirely familiar with, we have not been able to have the benefit of the interpretation into six languages of such excellent presentations. It is regrettable that we've had our interpreters sitting there for an hour simply listening. And when there is such a wealth of knowledge that is being transmitted and that could really help our experts in capital and others who know these topics inside out, but that unfortunately are not fluent in English. Often we do see this in diplomatic circles, but not always with experts. So we hope that in future sessions we'll see a solution for this problem, and perhaps we can plan our meetings differently, but to ensure that this wealth of knowledge isn't lost and we have it in all languages. We also, in fact, waste a lot of our translation resources on much less important topics than the ones that bring us here together this morning. Having said that, I very much welcome the comprehensive presentations made by the experts, and I wish to refer to some of the elements that they brought up during their statements. The first speaker, and I really thank him for the excellent presentation, brilliantly mentioned how the principle of good faith must be borne in mind in the application of any sector of law as it relates to outer space. I would like to know what his view is and that of others on the panel of how we need to interpret the application of other principles. For example, the precautionary principle or the objective principle for damages which exist in environmental law, how these could be applied to this sector of outer space. In other words, this shouldn't perhaps just be limited to good faith or to customary international law on the use of force. It should perhaps also be applied to other principles, such as the precautionary principle or the environmental principles that I mentioned earlier, or the development of any other activities. My second question is, in my view, even more relevant to the topic, and that is what the panelists' view is about the application of the principle of the peaceful use of space. Now, this is a principle which is, in fact, enshrined in the treaties. I'd like to know whether our distinguished professor's view is that this principle, as applied, is an express prohibition of placing any weapon or weapons system, any military weapon, in space. If this is, in fact, the principle which is enshrined in the treaty, should it not be applied very broadly in legal terms? Now, legally speaking, I well understand why this principle of the peaceful use of space and celestial bodies is limited, and that the only thing that is prohibited from placing in space are weapons of mass destruction. Obviously, this is an express prohibition within international law, but there is also a broader principle in international law which is applicable, and that is the peaceful use of space and celestial bodies. So I would like to have the view of our distinguished panelists on how this principle could be very broadly applied, precisely so that we can end up with an understanding that there is a prohibition on placing any kind of weapon in space or celestial body, and there'd also be a prohibition in carrying out any military activity in such spheres. So thank you very much for the speakers once again.